Hi, welcome back to my podcast. Actually, you know what? Let me correct that. Welcome back to our podcast. This is the People's Podcast with your host, Mr. Chad Rotobaugh. That's me. How's everyone doing? Just so you know, today's a fabulous, fantastic, wonderful day for me. It's a milestone. And the reason why I waited until a couple days after Monday to put this out is because I wanted to go and make sure this milestone was actually a milestone before I actually, you know, put it out there to you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today, your man, Chad Rotobaugh, is off federal paper. Whoa. Yeah, that's actually happening. I went into court today. The federal judge let me go. Time and term, I paid my dues, everybody. Since 2016, these people have been dealing with me. And, you know, they're probably not going to be listening, but let me give you a shout out to the people that actually made that possible for me. The one person is, and I'm not going to say her name, but she's my lawyer. She's been my lawyer since 2016. And, you know, while she was allocating to the judge about me, you know, she said some good things about me. And the reason why it hit home is because I knew, because she knows me. She knows me at my worst. She's seen me at my worst. She was there when I caught my charges. And she was there when I started violating my probation, not even a year after I got out of federal prison. So you can imagine her frustration, first of all, and then to be able to see me blossom like this and to be through everything that she has been through with me. Man, I can't say her name, but if you're ever in the District of Utah and you need a federal public defender, I hope you get her. You'll never know if you do or not, but if I was able to say something to her, I would just tell her, thank you. You were an angel to me, and you helped me through a lot of things, whether you knew it or not. I know it was your job, but the way that you did it was fantastic, and I will never forget you. Much love. Love that. All right, so let's get started. So I just wanted to say something. You know, as humans, this is something I've been thinking about. So as humans, we are born with our own uniqueness, okay? And because of this, we are drawn to certain activities and go down paths of our own desire, so to speak. So this uniqueness that I speak of has the ability to transcend on our ripple effect into, you know, moving forward. It is stamped upon us and is what draws us towards our own unique sense of how we feel about foods, music, what we like to do, what we like to watch TV, who we like to converse with as people, what type of people we're going to be. And the only thing that actually stamps down this uniqueness is the people that influence us in our life at the beginning. And that would be our parents, friends, family, cousins, you name it. Anyone that, you know, babysitters, you know, daycare people, everybody that you come in contact with in that period of time, I would say between, you know, 1 and 10 is going to be people that actually affect your ripple effect of uniqueness, of which you would have been on that path had they not have intervened in some way and either taught you something positive and now you went in a positive direction, taught you something negative and now you went into a negative direction. And the reason why I want to speak about this, everybody, is because it's very frustrating to me when I see kids being left behind and parents too young to be having kids. They don't realize, and I'm one of them, so this is why I can speak on it. They don't realize how hardcore that is for their children, because that's their learning stages. They're learning from you. Really, their uniqueness is their uniqueness, and it might overcome whatever transcends in between that. However, you have affected this person in a way that's going to structure their life into their 40s, 50s, until they die, or God forbid they die before that. For me, I'm 44 years old. And I would never say that anybody had anything to do with what I decided to do with my life other than me. However, I just want to push the point of, listen, how are we conducting ourselves in our lives? For me, my kids, they seen me in my worst. I went through my whole addiction right in front of my kids. They're still watching me, and I'm just barely coming out of it. I'm like 10 months out of this, guys. And, while so far so good, at the end of the day, what has affected them? And I want to go and ask them, but would they really give me an honest answer? I don't know. I want to say that they would, but then I put myself in their position. Would I give my mom an honest answer? No, because I would never do that to my mom. But my mom was a it is a beautiful person, of a huge person in my life that has pushed me in a direction of faith. My mom is a very unique person. There is nobody in this world. I can't even compare her to nobody because she's so unique. She has her own ways, her own style. But since I can remember, she's always been consistently pushing us into faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Faith in the universe and the powers that be, our archangels, when you hear me talk about my angels, that comes from my mom. My mom is hardcore on that, and that has affected me in my life. And while I went on my own tangent of my own unique way of being Chad Rotobaugh, I always resort back to what she has taught me my whole life. Now, we weren't made to go to church or any of those things. Every day was church with her. She taught us a lot of different holistic ways of living that are to this day probably the reason why I'm still alive. Probably the reason that I don't have holes in my head, from when I've been in the ICU or whatever. And she knows what I'm talking about when I say that. But I had an accident when I was a child. I was like 9 years old, and I hit my head really hard to the point to where the doctors wanted me to, they wanted to drill holes in my head to relieve the pressure because my brain was swelling. That's how bad it was. And my mom stopped them. And I remember throwing up on a, hospital bed, and I could overhear the nurses talking amongst themselves about my mom not letting them. So they took it to court, and the judge said, hey, it's up to his mom. But at the end of the day, and I think that's what happened, at the end of the day, my mom brought in somebody, a healer, to the hospital. Man, you should have seen the looks. And I'm a young guy, I don't understand everything, but when I look back now, I see it. But my mom believed in her faith so much that she brought her own healer in, and that person healed me. I don't have holes in my head. And they said I would never be the same. And you know what? I'm not the same from that day that I hit my head. I've never been the same from that day. Everything's different, but everything happens for a reason. And who knows where I would be if my mom let them drill holes in my head. So I love you, Mom. Thank you. Thank you for not letting them do that to me. But she sacrificed her son behind the beliefs of which she believed. And she was right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people and loved ones, folks and everybody in between, That is a mother's love. That is what a mom does. Like, that is the mother instinct that mothers, only mothers have probably. And I can't speak on it because I'm not a mother, but I am a father. And my mom decided to go against the hospital. I mean, who does that? She does, because she believes in what she believes in, and she stands firm on it. And she's always taught us that. And we, me, I can speak for me and my little brothers, we are forever different because of it. That's she's built into our uniqueness, this unique faith that she has, that she still practices hardcore to the max to this very second. She's the only thing she's ever been consistent in her life on, because you know what's the definition of life? Change. But not everything changes. And this is where she never changed at. No matter what happened in her life, the ups and the downs, she stayed consistently on a path of faith. And I respect it. I love it. I am who I am today because of it. And thank you. Thank you for that. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that kind of stuff right there. I'm talking about, helping your children with their uniqueness. You know, my mom could have never stopped me from what I was about to do in my life. Nobody could have. No matter what, nobody could have changed me. You know, I was talking with a lot of people in the court. I was talking to the prosecutor, I was talking to my parole officer, and I was talking with my lawyer. And they're like, Chad, what was the point of change? And I told him, I said, I had to burn the village. And what I meant by that isn't what they probably thought. I had to really assess what was happening in my life and the path I wanted to go down. This was essentially my retirement plan. So was I going to just ride this out and do life in prison? Or was I going to try to find some change? And I did. I decided the latter. I decided to change. And in retrospect, I burnt the village. I turned my back on my gang. I turned my back on the drug world. I turned my back on the drug of choice that I loved. And now here I am talking to you guys on this podcast. And all I had to do was make the valid choice and stick to it. I've always been a person that sticks to something. Okay, I chose what I chose when I chose what I chose. Well, ladies and gentlemen, 44 years later, well, I was actually 43 back then, 43 years later, I chose to make a change. And until then, no amount of prison time, no amount of drug counseling, no amount of any of that, rules, nothing was going to stop me. The amount of time and effort I put into deterring the federal government is astronomical. I don't even know if I could ever emulate that again. I don't know if I could ever repeat that intensity, because I'm not on drugs anymore. And when you're on drugs, you'll do anything you can to stay on drugs, whatever it may be. Man, you should see what I used to do, but that's for another show. I would just like to say this is a milestone in my life, everybody. Thank you for sharing it with me. This podcast is my way of staying in the recovery community. Let me just get into that real quick. Like I said before in other podcasts, I could just go to my old recovery places, right? That I've experienced in the last few months, and they would take me. I did really well there. They would let me be peer support. You know, I could talk to the youth or whatever it may be in my own city. But at the end of the day, that's where my old people are. That's where they end up at. And they don't always go there to change. They go there to sit down for a minute so that they can ride some charges out and then get right back on the streets. I've been in that world for so long that I can walk into any rehab in my city and probably know four or five people in there and know them in a way that is just, it's unhealthy. And that environment for me, I feel is counterproductive. I don't think I could be of help there. You know, they like, you know, the saying goes, you sit at the barbershop long enough, you're gonna get your hair cut. You're gonna catch a fade. And I really believe that wholeheartedly. If I was to go try and help my peers that I used to do drugs with, I don't think I would be able to do it at this point in my life. Now, there's nothing in this world that I couldn't do if I really put my mind to it. Let's just say that for me. And I don't say that with ego. I say that wholeheartedly. I believe that in myself. However, I know which days I'm going to be okay, and I know which days I'm not. Just like I know which days I'm, or not days, excuse me, I know what events I can go to and which events I should stay away from. And because I know that, I know better. And because I know better, I'm here on this podcast, reaching out to a lot more people eventually. And you know what? I love you guys. And I love that I've got this outlet. I love that I can do this and be safe. I'm in my living room right now, the most safest place for me ever in this world. You know, I love that I can come home and sit in my living room and be safe. Nobody's gonna knock on my door, and nobody's going to call my phone. Nobody's going to do nothing that I don't already have planned. And that's because I've taken myself completely out of that lifestyle. If any of you guys have been on my social media, it's not my real name because I don't feel like I'm strong enough yet for me to have people reach out to me from my past, especially with as much collateral damage as I have in my past. Like, people don't want to see me do good. Nobody wants to see me succeed. You know, I'm worth more in that world as a drug addict, you know, drug trafficker, whatever I was, gang member, than I ever was outside of that. And so when people see somebody like me that's got 29 years under their belt actually move forward and change, they don't understand it down there. They try to pull you back. And you know, I've got years and decades with these people. And not that I'm a slap away from being pulled back, but at the end of the day, let's just move around it. So the way that I do that is I'm not hiding, but I'm not putting myself in plain sight. And that's to keep me safe because this is for me. This isn't for you. This isn't for them. This isn't for nobody but myself. I'm selfish in that manner. And the only way that I can make this work is to be selfish. And the only way I feel like for somebody in my situation to be able to succeed is to be selfish only. And I don't mean selfish like fuck everybody in this world and it's only about me. No, the people around me that I allow in my life, oh no, I love them, but I'm not a bleeding heart. You're not going to be able to reach out to me on Facebook and sell me a sad story, and I'm going to come to your rescue because we got years of experience together. No, you know why you're not going to be able to do that? Because you can't find me. And so anybody that's listening to this that might know me personally, please respect that. But as every day gets longer and longer and longer, and we move forward more and more and more forward, guess what? I get stronger and stronger and stronger. And eventually, people aren't going to even be able to penetrate my force field. But as of right now, where I'm still vulnerable, I just know myself enough to know how to proceed and move forward. And that's the first step of recovery, people, is you've got to sit down and be selfish and really, really assess your situation. And where do you want to go? Like, have a deep conversation with yourself. Where do you want to go with your life? And it's up to you. There's no right or wrong answer. Go whichever way your heart wants you to go. But don't go there because you're just a hook to a drug. Don't go there because you can't stop doing something. Go that direction because that's who you are and that's what you want to do. It's not, there's no such thing as negative and positive to me. Okay? Is what there is for me is what do I want to do? How do I want to proceed? Which ways do I want to go? Because the sky's the limit, right? We can go any way we want. But I mean, what really benefits you and who you are and who you want to be? You know, I want to share something with you guys. And this really, when I wrote this, this really struck home to me that I could even write something like this. Let me go grab that for you. Okay, this is something that I actually wrote down. And it goes like this. It's a victim impact statement letter from the community. And it goes, "Dear Chad, we want to write you this letter in regards to your life choices and the ever-growing ripple effect you are having on the community at large. First, we would like to say we are sorry about your childhood and the hardships you think you endured. It was hard for you, and we are sorry that you feel that way. However, that does not excuse your reign of hate and discontent on your community. A community full of resources and life, people with families and good intentions, all for the common benefit of the nation of which we live. And while you may have only affected a fraction of this world's population, just know you did so in the worst way possible. The footprint is ever growing still to this day, all because you and whatever it is that makes you feel the need to defraud, kill, steal, and extremely disbenefit everything you have contacted in your life thrives with your presence. What gives you the right to prey on us like a bunch of chickens and you're a chicken hawk? Or treat us like fish in a barrel waiting to get shot. You and your band of thieves, at which are driven by your direction, but really, they're a family of people in your life that have been there for you, fed you, clothed you, gave you a safe place to sleep. You ate off the same plates, shared food, drinking, good times together. Just for you to turn around and spit in their face by teaching their kids how to use drugs, rob, steal, murder, and be murdered. You helped start a criminal organization that is now responsible for your nephew, Nico, and numerous other children. Your own fucking nephew, bud. 20 years. Kids under 20 years old. That got gunned down in the streets like dogs behind your actions, your selfish ways, and your unwillingness to work through your loss of structure in your life. These are choices you made, and let's not count the many, many people you helped die behind all the drug shipments and distribution you organized and executed for the almighty dollar. Feeding your ego and satisfying your hurt and need for love and approval, respect and power and control, all weaknesses you used as products to serve your need. Take heed at how deep you cut this community. Your ripple effect destroyed countless amounts of people, mothers crying in the fucking street for their sons and daughters as they are lost. In the cog of your transmission of destructive behaviors. Who are you, sir, to still be alive and free? What is your objective here? Because when we lock you up, you strive to be free. You pray for forgiveness and ask for mercy, yet you have none for us because you keep going back. Chad Rodabaugh, we challenge you one last time to heal yourself and be free of this. Once again, we are going to give you the answers and provide you the tools and point the direction. Please take this serious, because if not, you're toast, my friend. We are done. Sick of your shit. Let's just say there are no more chances. A wise man once said, you get what you give. Chad, give us a reason not to throw you away. Show us your true self and stop hiding behind your false pride and inflated ego. Love always the community. That, my friends, when I wrote that, changed the course of my life. And this, I don't know what came upon me, but this is what, on not what, but one of the things that really stood out to me in treatment. And I'm glad that I wrote that, because when I read that to a group of people for the first time, I shed tears. I didn't really know that I was so destructive in my ways. It's crazy. And this is our time, man. We're done. This is episode 3, podcast 4. Please like, love, leave all kinds of stuff, please. And I love you guys. Peace out.